Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Denise Pope, Senior Lecturer at the Stanford University School of Education and co-founder of Challenge Success, a research and intervention project that aims to reduce unhealthy pressure on youth and champions a broader vision of youth success. With her is Rabbi Patricia Carlin Newman, Stanford University Senior Associate Dean for Religious Life and a Research and Policy Advisor for Challenge Success. In this final segment, we discuss helping kids find passion and purpose through education. I was reading Doing School and thinking about the kids that you profile, and it seems like they're having trouble prioritizing values.
You know, it's very interesting because when I talk to kids who cheat, most of the time with the kids that I work with, it might be different for Patricia, they know that what they're doing is wrong, and they are prioritizing a different thing. They feel they have no other choice. They know that they're compromising their values, and they feel they have no other choice but to do that because of the premium put on grades and getting in. So what they'll say to me is, I know my parents will be really upset to find out that I cheated, but they'd be more upset if I didn't bring home the good grade. And so what we say to parents, and I tell that story and I let them understand that, is you've got to have the conversations at home, and the schools have to have the conversations that say, hey, you've got it the exact opposite, that it's much more important to us that you live an ethical life, and if that means not cheating in order to do it, what do we have to do to make the space at schools and in our family for kids to understand that this is where you place value. So it's not so much a lack of practice, but a lack of the ability to feel that they can be who they want to be and know in their gut that they should be.
Saying things, but their kids just don't believe them because of the way the parents are acting the rest of the time?
Yes, because of all the other messages that are being sent. I mean, so if you're on the phone to grandma bragging at what your kid got on the SATs, and in the same you hang up the phone and you turn around and you say, honey, I love you no matter what, the kid's not buying it. Mm-hmm. So you've got to talk, you know, we have role plays of what do you say when the report card comes in? How do you handle that? You know, in my house, it's not about the grades, it's about the learning. And even my 10-year-old can say that line. You know, I know, it's not about the grades, it's about the learning. And that's what's most important to us. So it's how you have these conversations as families and also in school. A lot of the reasons why they're cheating is because there's too much work to do. A lot of it is busy work, and they feel that they're not obligated to be held to that same standard when the work means nothing to them. And so it's really changing the practices that go on in the families and in the schools to allow the kids to implement the values that they know they ought to be implementing.
We've talked a lot about the students who are kind of robotic or automatons. I want to say something about what it's like to work with and study with students who are really engaged. There's something so magical about somebody discovering their passion, figuring out how to pursue it, being creative about it, being initiating about the people they're going to find who can help them to learn more. The level of engagement and ownership is so strong. So I think that in some ways, we do ourselves a disservice by seeing only how dysfunctional our system is. I think we have to see and analyze that, but I think we also want to help to see what the promised land looks like. And we do have plenty of those students here, and it's a great joy to work with them. And not surprisingly, they often achieve very well, not because they're worried about the grade, but because they love what they're doing.
Absolutely. That's sort of the dirty little secret of all of this that you've hit on, which is when you are truly engaged and you're excited about what you're learning, you do better. You actually do achieve what it is the intended curriculum was trying to get at. So, you know, a big part of what we do with the schools is help change what's going on in the classrooms, to help change the teaching and the learning and the assessment styles to say, you know what, these kids are going to, they're not even going to want to cheat on a project that they're excited about, if you can get the workload to be balanced. And they're going to take on way more challenging things if you let them run with it than they would in a more traditional place where it's sort of, okay, you know, read these chapters, study for the test, spit it back, do the test, and move on. So that's why we're really working with schools on project-based learning, and we need the parents to be behind us on this, not like, you know, drive to Michael's in the middle of the night, which is a craft store, and slap a poster together. Real projects that the kids are interested in, that they're driving, that they see the meaning in, and they can be creative. And so just like you see it at the college level, I see it also at the K through 12 level, that engaged students really don't have a problem then with cheating or cutting corners or being bored out of their mind, that they start acting out. When you're engaged, you're right there doing what we want them to do.
What does an ideal parent school relationship look like, and how do you get there?
That's a good question. So what has to happen is it's a partnership, right? And ideally, you want the parent, the kid, and the school all to be bought in on this message of what real success is. And so you have a school that understands that every time they give homework that's meaningless, it's breaking the partnership. It's breaking the contract that they have with the home, which is, we understand how precious your time is after school, and we would only ask you to do something that's of utmost importance to take that time away. But they also need the, and we will do everything we can to engage your child and make this a meaningful, wonderful, loving, caring kind of place that he or she wants to be every day. The parent has to do their job, which is to make sure that the kid is having a healthy life, getting the sleep they need, getting the right nutrition, and really both the schools and the parents have to be on the same page in terms of what they value, that integrity comes first, that, you know, we are on this earth to give back and make it a more whole place with Tikkun Olam. You know, so it means not calling up the teacher and saying, what do you mean you gave Susie a B? You know, I helped her write that essay, and we think it should get an A, you know, which happens. Or how dare you accuse my son of cheating? He would never do such a thing. You know, whereas you have to really kind of say this is a partnership. The same as the schools have to say to the parents, you know, I think this is too much. You've got to cut back on the amount of extracurriculars your kid is doing. They're exhausted, and they fall asleep in class. And the parent has to hear that, and the schools have to hear where they need to change. You know, there's too much busy work. And everybody's got to be listening to the child and really looking at what the child's authentic needs are. Madeline Levine has a line, love the child before you. And that's absolutely critical.
I think the other thing that Challenge Success has been very clear on is that there are lots of stakeholders in this process, and our impulse is to say, oh, it's the fault of the parents, oh, it's the fault of the school, oh, it's the fault of the kids, oh, it's the fault of the college admissions, oh, it's the fault of the economy. All of those play a role, but it doesn't work to just put the blame on someone else. Every person in every role they have can do a great deal toward valuing the student and insisting upon a different view of what matters in the world, really keeping that notion of purpose in the forefront.
I start out all my talks by saying, how do you define success? And the parents in the room all say the same wonderful, loving things. I want my kid to be happy. I want my kid to be healthy. I want my kid to, you know, give back to society, be fulfilled, be challenged. We all want the same thing for our kids. The problem is, what they haven't done is examine their day-to-day life, the kids' day-to-day existence, and what they're really putting a premium on. And if everybody could really say, the most important thing in my family is health and integrity and character, they'd be getting those kids to bed. They'd be getting tutors in integrity instead of tutors in math. You know, so really, if this is what you value, make sure that you are walking the walk. As a parent and as an educator, there's things that you can do every day that would make a difference in really helping that kid achieve the kind of success that we all want.
I'm thinking about the notion of who's in the community, from the hewer of wood to the drawer of water. And in order to be a society that functions, we need people in such a wide range of roles. And success can be seen as success for the community or the society rather than success solely for the individual.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast, find more resources, including links and discussion guides, and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.